One of the great mysteries of the Christian faith is the Holy Trinity, that God is both one and three. It is a mystery in the sense not that it is non-rational, but then in the sense that it is too wonderful for us to fully take in. And so we always struggle to maintain and fully appreciate God in his oneness and God in his threeness. And we are particularly weak when it comes to the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We tend to view the Spirit as an impersonal force emanating from the Father or from the Father and the Son, or as a divine attribute or expression of God, his power, his presence, or his love. But the Bible is clear that the Holy Spirit is not a force or an attribute or an expression. The Holy Spirit is a person, just as the Father is a person and the Son is a person. And each of them is a person eternally. The Father is eternally the Father, the Son is eternally the Son, and the Spirit is eternally the Spirit. And so we see throughout Scripture that the Holy Spirit is described as doing things that only persons do. Impersonal forces do not do these things. For example, the Holy Spirit, we're told, grieves over human sin. The Holy Spirit persuades us and convicts us. The Holy Spirit, in fact, intercedes and prays for us with groanings too deep for words, meaning not that the Holy Spirit is incapable of intelligent speech, but meaning that the Holy Spirit prays for us with more, not less, than human language. The Holy Spirit, we're told, testifies. It testifies of Jesus. The Holy Spirit cries out. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit creates. The Holy Spirit led Jesus throughout his life and ministry. The Holy Spirit told evangelists like Philip and apostles like Paul what to do and where to go. The Holy Spirit has a mind. And so he does not cancel out our own minds when he leads us and guides us. So the Holy Spirit is a person just as much as the Father is a person and the Son is a person. Secondly, we need to recognize that the Holy Spirit is fully God and yet distinct from the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit can be blasphemed, which means that he is not only a person, but that he is God and equally God with the Father and with the Son and yet distinct from them. The Holy Spirit can be lied to, as we see with the episode in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and his wife Sapphira. He can be lied to, and when he is lied to, the liar is lying to God. The Holy Spirit himself distinguishes between himself and the other persons of the Trinity. So, for example, we're told that the Holy Spirit draws attention away from himself and draws attention to the Son. Jesus says, when the Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth, he will testify of me. Even as the Father, not the Son or the Spirit, gave his only begotten Son, and even as the Son, not the Father or the Spirit, was incarnated as a man, died for our sins, and was raised from the dead, even so the Holy Spirit has his own unique role. The Spirit, not the Father or the Son, was poured out on the church at Pentecost. The Father gives the Son as a gift. The Son gives the Spirit as a gift. The Spirit gives the Son as a gift, and by giving the Son, gives the Father. Thirdly, we need to see that the Holy Spirit's work is both personal and cosmic. As modern evangelicals, we tend to be at least somewhat familiar with the work of the Spirit with individual believers and in the context of the local church. It is the Spirit who convicts us of our sin. It's the Spirit who regenerates us and makes us alive so that we can respond to God. The Spirit indwells us. The Spirit sanctifies us. The Spirit inspired the writing of the Scriptures. The Spirit gives gifts for ministering to one another in the church. The Holy Spirit creates fellowship and unity among saved sinners like us. However, we tend to miss the cosmic scope of the Spirit's work. Regeneration, for example, is not only personal and individual, it is also cosmic. At one of the few times where the Greek word for regeneration actually appears in the New Testament, Jesus uses it in a cosmic sense. He says, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on his throne. So, regeneration is not only something that is in us, personally and individually. Regeneration is something that we are in. Because when Jesus sat on his throne upon his ascension, the regeneration of the world began. And of course, you can't regenerate omelets unless you regenerate eggs. And so the cosmos is regenerated one person at the time, but the cosmos is being regenerated. So the regeneration began with Christ's resurrection and ascension. The pouring out of the Spirit on Pentecost began the extension of the regeneration from Christ to the cosmos. The Spirit works the regeneration into the world like yeast working through bread dough. By the Holy Spirit, mankind and the earth are united with Christ and began to share in his glory as the Spirit regenerates not only one person at a time, but begins to regenerate the entire human race and the entire world. And this will be completed, we are told, in the book of Romans chapter 8, when we are finally resurrected into full glory as Christ is in glory, then the entire creation will be resurrected and will enter into the glory and the liberty of the sons of God. So we need to get to know the third person, the Holy Spirit. And we need to worship the Spirit with the Father and the Son. This is not something we often think about, but the Puritan theologian John Owen talked about this. He said the saints have distinct communion with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is, distinctly with the Father, distinctly with the Son, and distinctly with the Holy Spirit. And accordingly, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit should each be honored in the context of their revealed relations with one another and their distinct roles in creation and in redemption. We see a great example of this kind of worship from the old Book of Common Prayer. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory, we praise you for your love and giving your only Son for the life of the world. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lamb of God, we worship you with the Father. You take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. By the Father's decree, you are the King of heaven and earth, and all judgment is committed into your hands. Holy Spirit, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, Giver of Life, we worship you with the Father and the Son. You make the world new. Come, take up your abode with us. Make us holy. Give us communion with the Father and the Son and one another. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.